Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline.
Done.
Here's Ray Ferraro. What's happening, Ray?
Just off the course, when you were talking about PEDs, I was like, I sure as hell didn't have them today. It's a working day today.
Is it ugly out there or what?
I birdied the first hole and birdied the last hole, and unfortunately, there were 16 in the middle of it. Man, that was hard today.
Yeah. I actually haven't mentioned this yet. I played this morning myself.
How did it go?
I shot really well, but the card just it didn't add up, if that makes sense. And, Ray, maybe you it's such a golf term.
You shot a 90 on the card, but you felt really good about your game?
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
I shot an 88, but I actually felt really good. Like, I started really well. I should have been 3-under through four holes, and I was choking putts away, and then I just started tripling and doubling and got away from me. You know what it's like, Ray. It happens.
Well, I was 2-over on the ninth tee, and my next par was on 17, and I was 11-over.
Yeah.
It's like I forgot how to play for 2 hours. I'm like, I forgot how to play. I don't even know what the hell I'm doing here.
So but great being out.
What are the rules and stuff? What are the rules and stuff like out there, Ray, for golf? What are the, like, you know, showing up? Can you use the range? What's a golf experience like out in BC?
A lot different from a couple of weeks ago to now. We're allowed to use the range, but only every second stall. The balls are on the ground. You can't use a tee because they're on the mats. You know, they're the rubber tees. So they don't want any contact points, but you can use the range now. You can play in foursomes. They still have a 10-minute gap between tee times, so you never really see anybody. You can use pull carts. They're sanitized, and they've got a pink ribbon on the ones that are clean, and you can use those. The clubhouse isn't open. The restaurant's not open. You can get a water at the half, you know, at nine holes, but... really, honestly, Johnny, it's pretty much golf, except right. I guess the one thing is the pins stay in and there's a pool noodle in the bottom of it, so the ball doesn't up to the bottom of the cup.
I think it's amazing, though, man. I have played twice, and it is a complete reprieve from society and from what we've been going through for 2 months. Like, even if I'm chopping it around, I'm like, yeah, it's all right. Like, I'm not going to wrap my 7-iron around this tree. I'll wait a month to do that. But, it's, you know, like, it really feels like it's just normal. Like, and if you golf, I'm sure you're trying to get out there and you'll appreciate it once you do. If you don't golf, I would suggest now's the time to try it. Like, or do something, you know, if you can, within the guidelines, clearly. But if you're a golfer and you get out there, to your point, Ray, once you're off the first tee, you're playing golf. It's not that different. Yeah. You're just playing.
Well, you know, the one thing, Brian, I will say is, like, there is, it's the most normal place that I feel. Like, I don't feel normal in the grocery store. I don't feel normal, like, out in public. But I go play golf, and I'm, like, kind of, like, normal.
Yep.
You know, like, it's as close to it as we've got right now.
That's right.
But I was going to say, like, does any of this change your mood? Like, I guess regular, when things were normal before the pandemic, if you had a bad golf game, are you pissed off? Do you leave the course pissed off? Or do you leave, like, isn't golf supposed to be like a relaxing, good for your mental well-being type of sport?
No.
I would
anxiety-inducing.
Yeah, it sucks.
You know
I hate
what?
It.
I'm, like, by the time you finish your beer on the 19th hole,
yeah,
I'm fine. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm so.
Yeah, we'll throw him on hold. We'll get Ray back.
Yeah, just he's on the 19th hole right now, having his second.
Yeah, he is on the 19th.
Yeah, exactly. No, but, he's. I mean, to answer that for Ray, he's right.
Right.
Once you're on the way home or whatever, like, who cares? Like, you're not on tour or anything. It doesn't matter.
Right.
But you're not good enough to get upset. Really.
Yeah. But you can, if you're competitive, which I think we all are, and if you've set a bar, at some point you shot really well, and you're always chasing that. And if you're gambling, like today, right. I was playing with a couple of buddies who were going at it. Like, they both were spraying it all over the course, taking provisionals. Like, they almost came to blows over provisionals. Like, I'm sitting there watching these two hooligans. I'm like, are you guys serious? Like,
yeah.
And they're playing for, you know, it's cash. It's not not a crazy amount of money, but it's cash. So it adds, you know, a bit of an edge to the game. And one guy doesn't want provisionals. The other guy wants provisionals. One guy's like demanding, you know, basically USGA rules. The other guy
wants.
It's
the same conversation, Hayes.
It's crazy.
Every group that gets gambling, it's all the same. Like, everyone gets the same kind of arguments between each other. Somebody's playing well. Someone's crushing a drop. It's just, it's, you can't help yourself.
It's the worst.
And then when you have a beer and it's all done.
And if you're one of the guys, like, I was involved in kind of a skins match, so I had something going on, but I wasn't involved in the two of them. And they call me out for, like, a witness. Like, hey, isn't it supposed to be a provisional? Hey, aren't you supposed to not do this? And I'm like, I'd prefer not to be included in this. But, you know,
take
I
a
guess
pass.
If I'm the marshal for your gambling here, I guess I'll have to be. Anyway, we got you back, Ray?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, buddy.
I don't know what happened.
What are you going to do?
I was going to say, I feel great when I'm at the course. It's the one thing that I can still get good at. And... yeah, and I just love, you know, the picking part. Oh my gosh, like, it's the best. And everybody's in a, you know, you feel tension. You're playing for $2 and you're like, the hell does it matter? But I'm like, I want to beat him.
Hmm. You have
not
to.
Not want to give him up. Yeah.
You have to. The competitive nature starts to pick up.
But that, Brian, you said in your mind you have probably your greatest game ever in your memory bank, and you're trying to achieve that every time out. So if I had asked you, like, what's your greatest game? Could you tell me? It was like, I was a Tuesday afternoon and I shot a 72 or, you have it in your memory bank right now.
Yes, I do. I broke 80 at Scarborough once. I shot 79 and I hit like a 15-foot putt that I had to hit to
make
break
it.
80. Yeah, I made it.
Nice.
I hit it. And on 18, and I did the full, like, tiger. Like, it was ridiculous. People were watching. Like, what a loser. Like, Kirk Gibson fist pumps around the green.
And to salvage it. It's 89.
Yeah. And it was just me and my buddy. It was the two of us. And I think it was midweek in the summer 7-8 years ago. Yeah, I remember it. Absolutely. Because it's one of those things, like, Ray, you can attest to this. You get to 9 and you're like, that was pretty good. I shot, like, 37. That's good. Okay. And then you're at 13 or 14, you're like, yeah, that's a couple pars. Like, okay. Like, you just feel it. You're like, I kind of sense I'm going somewhere where maybe I haven't gone before. It's like Star Trek.
Yeah, there's that you sense. Or, like, today when I got to 14, I'm like, this round is over. I stink.
The worst.
And you're like, and I still got five holes left. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And you just, and then, you know, the golf god gives you a, you know, like, I birdied 18, so now I got to go back and play on Friday.
Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah. That just, it's natural.
Have you ever quit? Have you guys ever quit? Like, said, the hell with this. Like, I can't do it. It's 13th or 14th hole. Like, you do the John Daly.
No.
Pick up your ball and you're leaving.
No, I haven't. That's tough.
No, but I have. When you finish 6th, you're right by the clubhouse, and then you play 7, 8, 9, you get back to the clubhouse. And the range is right there. So I played 6 holes. I was like, I was all over the place. I don't know where I was. And I said to the guys, I'm done for 3 holes. I'm going to the range. They're like, what? You can't do that. I said, oh, yes, I can.
Yeah.
So I stomped over to the range and slashed balls around the range and then joined back up for the back nine. That's the only time I quit like that.
That's a move. Put me down for 3 pars, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah. I was hitting it really well in the range.
Yeah.
Put me down for pars.
And I'll just pick you up on 10. So, you know, the news yesterday, we were talking about it and trying to figure out exactly what was said and what was detailed from Bettman and company about the 24-team tournament. We got Kyle Dubas coming up in about a half an hour. And I guess he said today on a conference call that Nick Robertson will be a part of the roster, whether it's 28, 30, whatever. Robertson played with the Petes this year, I think led the OHL in goal scoring and put up just a monster season. Played for the Americans on their top line at the World Junior. You would have seen him there.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, like, he's a really committed kid. He's a workout fiend, really driven. But can you picture any scenario where Robertson actually plays any games if and when they happen this summer?
Yeah, I think so, because Johnny would be able to speak to this a little bit more about the college players that come in. But that happens in the playoffs quite frequently. I mean, I have in my memory where a player kind of just gets dropped in because they've signed and they've been around.
Chris Kreider.
We were playing a playoff series, and John Bice was a player. He signed from the University of Wisconsin, and the Bruins had an injury or two, and he was in. And he scored in Game 7 against us. So, look, Robertson's a good player. He's fast and tenacious. He's a kind of a bulldog sort of guy. Really nifty, good hands. He's an excellent pick for them. And I could see that if things go a little wonky that you might see him. Like, I absolutely could see that with this kid.
Feels like things almost have to go well and then wonky, though, Ray, because I can't imagine him getting into a first-round play-in series of just 5 games if he gets the game 4 or 5 and they have not won and they have not looked great doing it, because there'd be so much on the line. But if they're able to get into the actual playoffs or the second round, who knows, you know, injuries creep in or whatever it might be. But you think Cale Makar, now he's not Cale Makar, but Cale Makar jumped in the playoffs, scored a goal in his first game. A few years ago, Chris Kreider, who was not a prolific scorer in college, jumped out of Boston College, I think it was, right into the New York Rangers playoffs. So it's not out of the question. And again, he's not going to be, he's coming in as fresh as anybody else. The rhythm of the season is disrupted for everyone. So he'll have a jump on it, as anyone might, to kind of prove himself with the right kind of team that appreciates his skill.
Yeah. And Johnny, here's another, he's good. Like, he's a good player. I like, do we love the Toronto Bombs so much that you couldn't see an improvement? Well, maybe this kid might be able to give you a little bit of dash. I'm with you. Once, you know, they're going to start with the lineup that they have, you would think, most likely. Although, if there's one team right now, the way that they're constructed and the way that they talk and the way that they view their players, that might come out of left field and start someone that's never played for them before, it would be Toronto.
Well, and it's not like their left side is like inundated. Like, that's probably one of the weaker components to their roster.
Yeah.
Is it not? So, I mean, if you feel like he can play left wing on your third line, then, and you can still give him top 9 minutes, but shelter him away from, you know, top pairing defensemen and stuff, would you not give him a run? Like, would you not see if he could, you know, fit into that lineup and have some jump and have some, like, we all know who's in the top two lines, but could you see Robertson as an upgrade on who the soup man?
Yeah, you know, that's probably who he's battling with, right?
Right, like, you know, if this guy's a better player, by all accounts,
forget,
he is.
You know, Jamie, you bring up Mikheyev, right? He hasn't played since when?
December.
Yeah, I was going to say January, but December.
That's going to be a tough thing to catch up to.
Right.
You know, like, maybe he's not the player that we remember from December, right?
Right.
Like, maybe, you know, it's just he's been away too long. Like, that's very possible. And it might take him a while, and maybe it doesn't even come back for him right now. And, like, this kid's good, man. Like, he's not, you know, it's not like he's going to jump in and you're going to go, oh, that's a 50-goal scorer and all that. What you are going to see is an energetic player who is determined. He gets to the puck. When he doesn't have it, he goes and gets it. He's fast. He's strong. Like, here's the thing about small players that, you know, and of course, I got a soft spot for the little guy, but you can be little and small, like thin and not very strong, or you can be little and thick and strong. And Robertson's built blocky. Like, he's a strong kid. Sure, it would be a hell of a jump for him, but it wouldn't surprise me that if we get a peek at him as this thing along.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a part of me that wonders how all these organizations are going to handle this play-in round robin. I mean, I would assume you're in it to win it, clearly. You should be. I mean, that's the nature of competition. And, hey, who knows? It's such a crapshoot. Maybe you go on a run.
Right.
But is there a chance some teams look at it as kind of found money and like a development opportunity? And I don't think the Leafs would fall in that category. The Leafs were supposed to compete for a cup this year. It didn't look like it at any point in the 7 games they played, but they were supposed to. You know, they're supposed to be locked in as an elite team. But I wonder if there's going to be a team that is like, you know what, we'd rather play a kid than a guy whose deal's going to expire in a month and a half and we're walking from. you know?
Yeah, sure. I can see that, but I don't think of it as a development sort of tournament. No matter what is, but you, in the scenario you gave Brian, if there's leaving, you know what he can give you, and you're like, you know what, this kid might be able to give us a little bit more, and he's going to be, you know, it's a wild card whether he can or can't, but he's going to be here for sure. Maybe they would play him, but I can't imagine teams are looking at this just like, you know, like going to Traverse City in the prospects term.
No, and they shouldn't, of course not, but you know, the tie would maybe go to the younger guy, where conventional wisdom would suggest tie goes to the experienced guy. You know, maybe it's just that simple. It's just a little bit different, a little bit of a different motivation and approach. We'll leave it there. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5. Good stuff, buddy.
We'll talk to you tomorrow, guys. Have a good one.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online at mapletoyota.com. People noticing, Hayes. I am a new man. I am a new man. That was bad cell reception, but it's good.
You were teetering.
Not stressed at all.
Oh, I'm fine.
You were teetering. It's because you're golfing today.
Yes. What about this, though, Brian?
Yeah.
So you talk about putting in young players. So before the teams will play the play-in rounds, they will know if one of those 8 lettered teams happen to win the lottery, right? Because they'll know the lottery order.
Right.
One or two or three. And you'll have basically a 1 in 8 chance of that being you. Let's just say one of those letters gets first overall pick. Now you're heading to the play-in round thinking, so if we don't win, we have a 12.5% chance of getting first overall.
Yeah, Lafreniere. Yeah.
Where, like, how do we judge that now? Oh, maybe we want to use it more as a developmental thing because we have that. Or even better for the teams in the play-ins, what if two or three, all three of the top picks go to those unnamed teams? Now all of a sudden you're like, okay, we got a decision to make.
Do we try to grind in
and get knocked out for
really
not a lot of money,
point.
Not a lot of home revenue?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Really valid point. Like, how many teams will look at that? Let's say, which it seems almost impossible, but it's not. Let's say all three picks are won by play-in teams.
Right.
And you're looking at that, you're thinking, man, like, we have, there is only going to be
3 in 8 chance.
3 in 8 chance of us getting one of those top 3 picks. Which, even if we win this best of 5, we're playing St. Louis in the next round. We're not going to win that. Or we play Boston and we don't feel great about it. Maybe a miracle pops up, but we're not winning 16 games beyond the 3 we just won.
Right.
Like, it's not going to happen. So, is it in our best interest, when we had already sold our fans kind of based on the whole regular season that this was not our year to begin with?
I could see Chicago and Montreal having that mindset.
Exactly. Exactly. I could totally see that. Where, like, it's not going to apply up here in Toronto, I don't think.
Minnesota? Arizona?
Minnesota is the number one, I think. Like, Bill Guerin's in there. They got a new coach. Like, what are we doing here? We're supposed to reload. They're old. They got a clear cap space.
They're not winning this year.
They're not winning anything this year. They're not winning anything next year either.
Right.
Like, that's where I wonder if the NHL, like, I guess they have to reveal who won the lottery. It's a TV production, but are you going to cause yourself a bit of a competitive issue if multiple spots, you know, in the top 3 are up for grabs for teams that lose?
I know this is probably the, you know, a weird thing, but I secretly want, like, the number one pick to be a letter. I do. I think it adds more theater. It really does.
It's the best of both worlds for
like,
one team.
If we want team chaos all year long,
right? Like,
that will be it.
You're right. Like, I want the Ottawa Senators to have 2 fantastic picks because that organization has broken it down. They're rebuilding. They've got some really good pieces to build around. So they're going to get 2 really good players. But, like, if that one pick doesn't go to the first 7 there, the first overall pick, man, that would just be great theater, because that's what you're talking about. All of a sudden, team loses in this play-in round, and they're picking first.
Well, it does is it basically extends the lottery, like the suspense of the lottery and the entertainment value. It just gets extended like 2 months.
We're in the content business. This is what you want, Hayes.
I'm all for it, dude. I'm all for it.
And it makes the second lottery more important than the first one.
Which would that would that be public? Would that be an event?
Yeah.
Would that I don't know.
They draw it out.
I guess you'd have to, right?
Yeah.
Pairing up the teams with the letters.
Okay. Well, let's push for it, man. I'm all for chaos right now. Once we get to it, let's get crazy. Like once we get to sports, let's really do something different here.